We, friends, are going to head and link up with Dr. John Leahy at Quinnipiac University as we welcome you, John, on this gorgeous day with weather predicted to be just about the same for next Thursday. Very welcome, Dr. John Leahy.
Good morning, Adrian. I'm delighted to be with you, and I hope from your lips to God's ears on the weather. Just dry will be sufficient for me, but if it's a day like this, it will be a beautiful day.
Yeah,
but,
it will be.
Whatever the weather, it's going to be a great parade.
This year, the parade, the St. Patrick's Day parade on Fifth Avenue is a very special and will be a very special day. First of all, it's the 255th anniversary of the St. Patrick's Day parade on Fifth Avenue. And indeed, you might well want to tell us about the Grand Marshal, a figure of great renown.
No question, Adrian. I think George Mitchell, our Grand Marshal this year for this historic parade, I think will be... and is already widely regarded among our best selections ever. And, of course, he's an enormously respected political figure here in the United States, longtime senator for Maine and Senate Majority Leader for a number of years. And then, of course, he's a revered figure in Ireland because of the Good Friday Agreement that he pulled together and after many years in 1998 that brought peace to Northern Ireland, and a peace that is still holding to this day. So I think he'll he's already been greatly received by Irish and Irish Americans and everyone. So there's no question, as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Rising, with George Mitchell in particular, we can also celebrate the peace process in Northern Ireland that he's so represented with here in the United States and in Ireland.
What many don't know, and indeed it hasn't, it's rarely an issue, after St. Patrick's Day, the parade on Fifth Avenue in New York, it comes with a heavy price tag. It just doesn't happen that all of this comes for free or for nothing. Can you tell us a little bit, John, about the costs and the significance of the sponsors of the parade?
Oh, absolutely, Adrian. Yeah, no, the parade costs us over $1 million to put on each year, and we have to raise all that money each and every year. The broadcast of the parade on television for the 4 hours on NBC cost us about $400,000. We actually purchased the 4 hours of time from NBC, and then we hire our own production company to produce the parade that's run on NBC. So each year we have to raise over $400,000 just to break even. And for that, we're always thankful for the great advertisers and sponsors we have for the TV broadcast. And those include Ford Motor Company, Quinnipiac University, Fordham University, Iona College, Manhattan College, Guinness, Diageo.
Tourism Ireland.
Empire City Casino, Tourism Ireland. These are the group CIE Tours.
Yeah.
These are the sponsors who their ads will appear, of course, on during the broadcast for 4 hours. But this year we've raised over $450,000 just in advertising alone. And we've also received generous support from the Knights of St. Patrick and the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. So we've raised from all those sources over $550,000, which will mean that our television broadcast will be successful. We'll actually make a small amount of profit on that, and that'll help offset all the other costs we have associated with the parade.
You know, this year also you have the addition of Irish TV for the first time, those who are in Ireland, those who are in the UK, will be able to watch the St. Patrick's Day parade live from Fifth Avenue, and that is, you know, that's fantastic as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and the parade is streamed online around the world through NBC. But you're absolutely right. But live TV this time, for the first time, Irish TV will be broadcasting both in the UK and in Ireland, and the sponsors and support that broadcast receives, we will also be sharing in some of those revenues. So we hope that will not only be a great extension of the parade with live television in Ireland for the people of Ireland to watch our parade live, but also in the future we hope will be an additional source of revenue as well.
This year, in addition, of course, to the amazing Grand Marshal, Senator George Mitchell, the inclusiveness of this year's parade will also be a fresh beginning going forward. It has been controversial, hopefully that particular issue is behind us. It took 25 years. Indeed, for the new additional group of Lavender and Green to become part of the parade. Can you address that?
Yes, absolutely, Adrian. I think you're quite right. In addition to the historic nature of the parade in connection with George Mitchell as Grand Marshal and the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Easter Rising, you're absolutely right. This year, I'm proud to say, will be the most inclusive parade, actually, in the 255-year history of the parade, with two LGBT groups being represented under their own banner out at NBC, an LGBT group of employees at NBC, which, of course, marched last year, the year that Cardinal Dolan was our Grand Marshal. And this year, they will march again along with an Irish LGBT group, Lavender and Green Alliance. And with that, it's not only that it'll be the most inclusive parade, but in the 255-year history, but as you referenced the controversy over the last 25 years, I really think this year's parade will be the most unifying parade, certainly in the past 25 years. And as evidence of that, we will have marching this year for the first time, Mayor de Blasio. We'll have the first time the Speaker of the City Council, along with the City Council. Governor Cuomo will be marching in the parade this year. So what has really been, an unfortunate distraction for the parade over the past 25 years that has really, especially in the media, both the Irish media and to some degree the more general media, has focused on the absence of an LGBT group marching under their own banner, and that's become the main thing that the media and others have talked about for the past 25 years. So my hope is that as this parade and certainly future parades, I hope this will not be an issue, and there's all the hope and signs, given the reaction from the New York political figures, and I think the media coverage that it's received. I think we'll be able to really focus future parades much more appropriately on what the real parade is all about, and that is celebrating the life of St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland and the patron saint of the Archdiocese of New York. So for the critics who think that the actions we've taken this year will detract from that, I think just the opposite is already happening, and that is that as we put this controversy behind us and have over 200 groups marching in the parade, that we will really be able to focus where the focus should be on this parade. And that's why the parade every year, when people ask me, it starts at 11 o'clock. It actually starts at 8:30, and that's when Mass starts at in St. Patrick's Cathedral. That's the beginning of the parade celebration for all of us who have been part of this parade for most of our lives. And So I really think you're right. It has been a controversy. I think it's been very well received, not universally, obviously. Right. Change is difficult, and I understand that. But I do have a sense, a growing sense, that the Irish American community, the Irish community, the Irish government is very supportive of the actions we've taken. I just have a sense, Adrian, that there's a much better feeling about the parade going forward. And I know for a fact that we would not have George Mitchell. We just talked about him being one of the great grand marshals. Had we not resolved this issue in the way that we have this year, George Mitchell would not have accepted our offer to be the grand marshal. So for all those reasons, I think it's been a little bit of a challenging year, and but as we approach St. Patrick's Day coming up here on Thursday, I'm feeling better and better that while it was a difficult year and some of us took some, I think, some unfair personal attacks around this this controversy, I do have some very high hopes and great optimism about the future of this parade and the future of our ability to celebrate St. Patrick, our patron saint, and our Catholic faith.
I know that you and many in the not only in the Irish American community, but in the New York area have indeed have had mixed emotions and feeling towards somebody who really stuck his neck out last year, and that is, you know, New York's Cardinal Dolan, who set the scene after the 25 years of controversy, and really was pivotal in in setting a standard that now results this year in the inclusive parade that it is about to be.
No, I couldn't be happier and more thankful and appreciative of His Eminence and the role that he has played. And so we're very fortunate, obviously, to have Cardinal Dolan and as our leader. And he was wonderful as Grand Marshal last year, as you noted. And this year, again, he has hosted events at his residence, and he was there for the announcement of George Mitchell. And as I said, I think we're very fortunate to have his support, as well as Barbara Jones, the Consul General,
yes,
here in New York, and the Irish government. And so it's been, as I said, change is always difficult, but I really feel very good about where the parade is at this time, and I have great hopes for not only the parade coming up here on Thursday being a great success, but future parades being even more successful. And again, focusing the attention in the future where it really belongs, and that's on St. Patrick.
Since we are broadcasting worldwide, perhaps you'd give our listeners just an idea of the very significant numbers that are real in terms of martyrs on the day. Never mind the 2 million people who line the sidewalks of the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York. In terms of martyrs, it boggles the mind that on one singular day that you can have the numbers of martyrs and the organization that takes for the well, this being a leap year, for the 366 days of the year. That is a tradition that goes way, way back. But you might rattle off some of the types of organizations that this parade attracts.
Sure. We have this year and all the groups that marched last year will be marching this year. So, again, with some of the challenges we had this year, I think there was some thoughts that we would lose some marching groups. Quite the contrary. All the groups that marched last year, over 200 in organizations and over 200,000 people March last year. We have actually added, of course, the Lavender and Green group and one other group, the Brion Society, which is a very prestigious national Irish law society. Every law school in America, including the Quinnipiac University School of Law, has a Brion Society. And they, too, have not marched in the past because of the controversy. They're, too, voicing their satisfaction with the changes that we've made. So they'll be marching. So we'll have, it all depends a little bit on the weather. Adrian, if we have a weather day like today, there's no question it will be well north of 200,000 people will be marching. And as you referenced, we normally get upwards of 2 million people watching the parade along Fifth Avenue during that time. So I think with George Mitchell and the 1916 Rising celebration and commemorance and with a little bit of good weather, we could be, well north of 200,000 and well north of 2 million people watching along the avenue.
It's, again, as I say, it is mind-boggling. Now, there, speaking of controversy that sometimes only happens after the event itself, it's the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade. But those who are in Jersey and those who are in Connecticut and those who are saying, hey, listen, this is a parade not just for Manhattanites or New Yorkers, but this is actually a parade that takes in the other areas as well. That's something that we should point out.
Yeah, no, it's, the New York City Parade, everyone, as you know, wants to be Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and certainly everything that happens in New York City really is a tri-state event involving not only New Jersey but Connecticut. We have up here, New Haven has the largest parade in Connecticut. It'll happen on Sunday. A lot of the other parades do march on different days other than March 17th. We're the only parade that actually always marches on March 17th unless it falls on a Sunday, and then we march on a Saturday for that day. We welcome groups. We have 49 different Ancient Order Hibernian groups that will be marching. We have bands from not only the tri-state area, New Jersey, Connecticut, but Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. We have bands from Galicia and in Spain, and we have all the 32 counties are obviously recognized. We've moved up, I think, a half a dozen of the counties who had a special connection with the 1916 Rising so that they're earlier up in the parade and will be on TV. We have 200 different bands and marching groups that lead the marching organizations. We have the Grand Council of Emerald Societies. Colleges and universities, high schools. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's in New York City, and it's the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. But New Jersey and Connecticut and New York State are well represented. Of course, the governor will be marching with the New York State Police as he leads that group. The mayor will be leading New York City police area with the commissioner, Commissioner Bratton. So you're quite right. It's a parade that's let's face it. It's the St. Patrick's Day parade in the world. Whether it's in it may be in New York City, but not only New Jersey and Connecticut participate in it, but it's watched throughout the country and literally watched throughout the world.
Dr. John Leahy. We welcome you to the program, and we know that this is a very special year, indeed, for a number of reasons. For somebody like yourself who has to reflect on this being the 255th St. Patrick's Day celebration on Fifth Avenue, what do you feel on, say, St. Patrick's morning when you say, this has been going on longer than any parade in the world? This has got its, it again is short of mind-boggling in terms just of the extent of the history of Ireland and the history of the diaspora.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we often talk about the special relationship between the United States and particularly a city like New York and Ireland and the Irish. You know, the Irish came to this country and New York in particular, you know, primarily after the Great Hunger, and helped to build the city of New York and Boston and Chicago and other cities. But particularly New York, when you think about it, it transformed New York. They built St. Patrick's Cathedral and expanded the parochial schools and the railroads and the city unions, the political leaders in the early part of our history. So for me, it is mind-boggling in a way that this parade predates the founding of our country. We started marching here in 1762 before our own independence from England. So it's pretty remarkable when you think now we're celebrating this year the 100th anniversary of the beginning of Ireland's independence from the same England. So, but growing up in New York as I did, born and raised in the Bronx, and you know, I was telling someone last week that when people asked me what I was when I was a little kid in the Bronx, and I always said I was Irish Catholic. I never seemed to be a distinction between the two for me, and I still feel that way. So this parade is just, you know, as you say, I wake up that morning and I head down to the cathedral. It's just part of who I am and who we are as a people in terms of the Irish, and it just reinforces in a celebratory way, in a special way, each and every year that on St. Patrick's Day we can remember how closely intertwined Ireland and the U.S. is, and particularly New York City, and we, of course, who are Irish Americans. And so I think of my grandfather, who was there as a kid, was taken by his father, my great-grandfather, from a little town in Knocklossmore in County Kerry, just 10 miles west of Tralee. You know, I was a four-year-old kid, just had to leave Ireland, and my great-grandparents, born during the Great Hunger, survived it, had three of their children, and then left for initially Canada, and then they made their way down to New York for a better life for their kids. And my story is the same as so many of us here in New York and Irish Americans. So, you know, the bond with Ireland, we wouldn't be who we are without Ireland, and New York wouldn't be what it is without Ireland. And so those are all the kind of thoughts and memories and back to my childhood. And when I think of my parents and attendance at St. Margaret's School and growing up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood and getting the values and the foundation for, you know, who we grew up to be and hopefully still live up to those Irish and Catholic ideals in everything we do. So it is a special day. And beginning in the cathedral, that's for me how it should start. You wake up, I stay at the Metropolitan Club up the street, which and just walk down Fifth Avenue to the cathedral at 7:30 in the morning, and that's how the day begins, with Mass and then the parade itself. So it's a special day if you're an Irish American, and it just brings back so many good memories and so many important elements of my entire life. So it's a day like no other. If you're a kid like I am, who grew up Irish Catholic and who is an Irish American,
you know, before the parade, on the eve of the parade, you will be honored by New York City Council, which is terrific, but also to be the recipient of the Thomas Manton Person of the Year Award by New York City Council. That has to have a special ring to it for you.
It does. I knew Tom well, and I had enormous respect for him. Of course, he and I share one thing in common. We were both former Grand Marshals of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We both also served on the board of directors of the parade. And he was someone for whom I had enormous respect, and because he was one of the great Irish-American political leaders. And I just getting an award for in the city of New York. I have a lot of activities in New York. You know, I've lived in Connecticut for 30 years, so I think it's pretty special just to get any award for any reason from the city council. But to get it this year for the work that I've done and hopefully the contribution that I've made to make sure that the parade is inclusive and is a unifying parade, as we discussed earlier, is very special. But then to get it in the award name for Tom Manton, someone for whom I knew personally and had just enormous respect for, is, you're absolutely right. I can't think of an award name for anyone else that I would be more proud to receive on that day. So thank you for remembering. It'll be Tuesday night, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. Again, a great day coming up, and if the weather today is any indication of what's to come, this will be a great change, not only for you, because you have been associated with the parade for how many years?
30 years. I marched when I was a little kid, if you count that, but I've been working with the parade and the parade committee and the parade board for 30 years.
And you will remember, of course, trudging in the slush and the snow and the elements, the weather elements, has never indeed affected, when we say now again, 255 years. Neither rain nor snow nor sleet nor anything has indeed interfered with the parade. The parade has never been postponed because of weather. So this will be a nice change this year if this continues.
No, absolutely. Nothing can stop the Irish, Adrian, as you well know. But I'll be in my same spot, even though I'm chairman of the board now. I was elected this past summer of the parade. My job and my role on that day will be the same. I'll be on Fifth Avenue with the TV people, making sure all our advertisers and sponsors get their 2 or 3 minute interview. So I stand there on the avenue on 63rd Street and Fifth Avenue from 11 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the full 4 hour broadcast. And you're right, the elements out there, you're pretty exposed. Last year was, while dry, it was very cold and very windy, and some years you're absolutely right, we've had snow, and if you do get some moisture there, it's very difficult. So I'm always pleased if it's dry. If we don't have rain or snow, I'm happy, and if we can get anything north of 40 or 50 degrees, I'm thrilled. But it's a long 4 hours, but it's among the four most enjoyable hours of my life each and every year, and I'll be out there this year just as I have been for the past 30 years.
We thank you, and again, we will all be looking forward and be very much a part of the biggest, the greatest, and this year, the most inclusive St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City ever. And the fact that this is the centenary of the rising, which gave and which brought Ireland at least some independence, it's a very special year. We look forward indeed to being very much a part of it. Thank
great.
You.
Well, thanks for all your coverage, Adrian. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. Dr. John Leahy, friends, chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And by the way, that's 244th, the 255th St. Patrick's Day Parade. It begins at 44th Street and 5th Avenue, and the parade itself starts at 11 o'clock. By then, great number of people will have attended St. Patrick's Day, the Mass in the Cathedral, celebrated by His Eminence Cardinal Dolan, and the city of New York becomes a total buzz on St. Patrick's Day, and this year again. We hope that the weather is good, but either way, whether it is or it's not, this is a great day of celebration of Irishness, and John Leahy pointed out, there is very much a part of the celebration of the connection and the great connection of Ireland and the United States. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.